So I want to begin this morning by telling you a true story written by a preschool teacher named Jennifer, who lives in Minneapolis. Though this story could happen anywhere and anytime. There's a food drive happening at an elementary school. Several bins have been set up in the hallways bearing signs like "Scare Hunger," and they are filled with really swanky foods like quinoa and canned artichoke hearts and rice pasta. One of the women who helped to organize the food drive and a preschool teacher are chatting, proud of how much food has been raised, amazed that the parents are giving so generously, when another woman walks by. Smiling at her co-workers, she says, "Too bad they won't know what to do with most of it." Confused, the preschool teacher asks her, "What do you mean?" The woman stops, manila folder in hand, still smiling, and says, "Those people won't know what most of that is. I mean, really, quinoa? Those people." In her mind, the preschool teacher remembers the last time she got groceries at her local food shelf, just this last February. Her child support hadn't kicked in yet, and though the bag of groceries wasn't much, it made the difference, and for that she was grateful. She remembered the first time she went to the food shelf. She'd driven by it many times, but she didn't have the courage to pull into the parking lot. So she'd keep driving home to the empty fridge until desperation overshadowed her pride. Those people. For some days, the food shelf was full of really good food, like Annie's mac and cheese or organic marinara sauce. Other days, she'd have to scramble to get near the required weight of food in her cart, but beggars can't be choosers. She visited the food shelf 5 times in 11 months. She told only one friend. When she told her kids, expecting them to laugh, instead, they helped put the groceries away quietly, not saying much other than "yum" or "gross." Those people. Our preschool teacher wanted to shake the smiling and pretentious woman. She wanted to tell her, "You don't know how it feels to walk into one of those places and be one of those people. You've never had to swallow your pride and admit you need a hand. You've never looked at your kids and had to hide your tears because you had no idea how you're going to feed them. Those people will be grateful for this food. They'll be saying silent prayers as they box it up and bring it home and make it for their families. And they will never forget how it felt to be so thankful for something as simple as food." She wanted to, but she didn't. Instead, she muttered, "I like quinoa." To which the other woman replied, "Well, yes, of course. You're not one of those people." If only she knew. Zacchaeus knew what it felt like to be seen as one of those people. He wasn't in need of a helping hand from a food shelf, for he was very well to do. Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector, had made himself rich by collaborating with the Roman Empire, stealing from his own people, selling his sense of community, all for power and wealth. But that long ago day when the populace of Jericho came out to hear and see Jesus pass by on that dusty road, Zacchaeus was unable to make it to the front of the crowd. We see in our reading today that he was short, and having no respect in the community, the people never really saw him. There was no way they were going to part to let him come to the front of the crowd. You see, he was one of those people. So what did he do? He wanted to see Jesus. Maybe out of curiosity, maybe out of the Spirit calling him to a new life. So he did what most of us would do. Maybe not. He climbed a tree. And right there on the road to Jericho, in the midst of the crowd, as Jesus comes up even to the sycamore tree, Jesus saw him, the chief tax collector, sitting up there in his robes. Can you imagine that? This short man dressed in rich robes all by himself, someone unworthy, unseen, one of those people, and he catches the eye of Jesus. You see, Jesus knew who that man was. He knew Zacchaeus was one of those people. And Jesus singles him out by name to be his host that night. Can you imagine how this action of Jesus was perceived by others? Can you see them smiling with condescension? Why bother with him? He's not worthy of hosting the Son of God, the Messiah, at his home. Why bother with him? He's not worthy of hosting this Messiah, and he won't know what most of Jesus is even talking about. I mean, really, loving your neighbor as yourself? A chief tax collector? He's not worthy of Jesus' attention. He's one of those others. Jesus is going to be the guest of a sinner? In amazement at being affirmed as worthy by the Messiah, in thankfulness for being treated with dignity by the Son of God, Zacchaeus climbs down from the tree and does an amazing thing there on the dusty road to Jericho, in earshot of all those whom he's stolen from. Like our preschool teacher, I can see him saying silent prayers as he climbs down, thinking of bringing Jesus home for dinner with his family. I can imagine that he will never forget how it felt to be so thankful for something as simple as being seen as a child of God. In gratitude, his life will be changed forever. His community made the richer by his good example. On the spot, in front of hundreds of witnesses, he promises to give half of what he owns to the poor. Not a tithe, which is 10%, 50% of what he owns to the poor. He goes on to say if he's defrauded anyone of anything, and those anyones are standing around in earshot, he'll pay them back four times over. Seen by Jesus not as one of those people, but rather as worthy and beloved, Zacchaeus begins to see others as worthy and beloved too. He sees his community as worthy of his generosity. I want to say that again. When we are seen by God as beloved and worthy, it shifts our focus so that when we take that love in, we see others as worthy and beloved. Seen by Jesus as capable of being generous, Zacchaeus becomes radically generous. Zacchaeus knew that the world in which he lived, the Roman Empire, was hurting and broken. In that watershed moment, he came to see that beginning with his own generosity, he could participate in the renewing work of his community. Kate Huey says of Zacchaeus and of us, his generosity to the poor was his way of participating in the work of the community to bind the wounds of a hurting world and its broken relationships. I just saw this the other day online. Did you know that there is a tall, huge sycamore tree still standing next to that road to Jericho? Local stories tell us that that is the tree that Zacchaeus climbed, and you can still see it standing and growing today. Well, you won't be surprised when I tell you that the world in which we live here today is in a bad way. We are hurting and we are broken, from the environment to how our children are being treated to the sorrows that we carry in shame or silence. The world in which we live today is in need of healing, faith, and your generosity. In the fall, we ask our members and friends to pray a lot about the gifts we've received and to respond to God's grace and mercy for us with generosity, just like Zacchaeus did, to support the work of this, our community of faith. In the words of Kate Huey, no, we can't change the whole world by ourselves. We are definitely too little on our own to do that. But God keeps drawing us back here to our church home, where we are so much greater together than any of us is on our own, so much stronger and full of so much promise. Together we can do so much more by the power of God's grace to bind the wounds of a broken world, to offer good news to those on the margins, to seek out the lost and celebrate God's love as a community, because we know what it is like to be unseen by others, to be one of those people. We know what it is to be lost and what it's like to be found. Like Zacchaeus, we can let go of some of the stuff, the money, the wealth that we've been blessed with, not sparingly, but generously, just as we have received generously. Now, today is parish breakfast day in our fall pledge drive. We are going to be blessed by a skit produced and acted by our own St. Michael's players. It's meant to lighten our hearts and to fill us with the love we receive from Jesus, and that we in turn hold for one another. And I think you're in a real treat, having seen it for the first time this morning at 8 o'clock. It's going to be in the parish hall after. I want to thank our stewardship committee and our vestry for hosting, and some of our actors and actresses. It is a wonderful skit, and I look forward to seeing it again. But I want to close with a prayer written by Stephen Charleston, a past Episcopal Bishop of Alaska and a member of the Choctaw Nation of Oklahoma. Let us pray. God, give me a generous spirit in all I say and do. Do not let me withhold what you have so freely given to me, but let me be joyful in passing what I can on to others. Free me from the whispers of greed that surround me each day in the world in which I live. Keep me away from the vanity of privilege that tells me I always need more. Open my hands to work, my heart to care, my pockets to give. Let me be a source, a wellspring of change in the lives of those you have entrusted to my prayers. Give me a generous spirit in all I say and do. And may all God's people say, Amen. Amen.